You'll open your Bibles this morning to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 19. 5:19. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Spiritual Paratroopers. Spiritual Paratroopers. If there's one thing you've probably learned as a Christian, it's that you come into God's family as a warrior. Every day of your life, you're going to battle. You're going to battle sin, and you're going to wage war with the world, and you're going to wage war with yourself. And so, the Lord has given me a message and a title that I pray will be a blessing to you. Before we begin, let's ask God to open up our ears and eyes. Father, I pray that all from my lips would be of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would take control of my body, Lord, and I'll just be the vessel. Speak through me to your people, Father. You know what they all need. Pray that you would bring this, your spirit would walk amongst us, and you would bring comfort where comfort's needed, conviction where conviction's needed. And Lord, just pray that through it all, you would be glorified, and your children would be fed and edified. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 5:19, thus saith the Lord, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Our text paints the picture of God's people being surrounded by the power of evil. And, of course, that's true, isn't it? It's reminiscent of a battle, actually, that took place in Normandy during the invasion of Normandy in World War II. A group of the 82nd Airborne paratroopers were dropped deep into German territory with a mission. They were to take and hold strategic positions until the Allies could get there. And they battled, and they took those positions, and they fought, and they kept them. Well, after one intense battle, after a few days of fighting, the German side raised the white flag. It wasn't to surrender. It was to talk. A German officer came forward, and he asked for the American officer in charge. The two men met between the battle lines, and the German said, sir, do you not know that you're completely surrounded and outnumbered? And without flinching, the young captain smiled and replied, we're army paratroopers. We're supposed to be outnumbered and surrounded. That's our mission. And those paratroopers went on to hold those positions until the Allies reinforced them. I tell you about this event because in many ways God's people are like those paratroopers. In that God's children are always trying to hold on to their position with God while they're surrounded and outnumbered by the world. And Scripture gives us many examples of spiritual paratroopers. In Noah's day, the Bible says all the people on the earth were hostile to God, except for one righteous man. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah and his wife, his three sons, and his daughter-in-laws, they were surrounded and outnumbered by millions of people who hated God and lived after their flesh. How do we know that's true? Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So with the exception of only eight people, all of mankind were destroyed from the earth because they did evil in God's eyes. Israel is another type of spiritual paratrooper, a type. After Noah called out, after God called out the tribes of Israel to be his people, he took them to Mount Sinai. There he gave them the law. And once again, they were surrounded and outnumbered by millions of people, by pagan infidels. And they had to contend with a world that hated them and their God. And even to this very day, I tell you that Israel is still surrounded and outnumbered by people who are hostile to them. Even to this very day. And lastly, New Testament saints are also spiritual paratroopers. I dare say each and every one of you that know Christ as Savior is a spiritual paratrooper. You see, when the Spirit of Christ drops down from heaven and regenerates a soul, they are immediately surrounded and outnumbered by forces that are hostile to God. Soon as you got saved, everybody asked, "What's up with you? How come you're different? How come your language is so clean? How come you don't like to drink? How come you go to church? How come you read the Bible?" The world is filled with people that are hostile to God and the things of God. And the very moment the Holy Spirit dropped down from heaven and entered your life, from that moment on, you were surrounded and outnumbered. I got a proof text for that as well. Our text tells us, we know that we are from God, and here it comes, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The devil. The Bible tells us that right now he is the God with the little g of this world, and the world is under his influence. But we're not like army paratroopers when it comes to the fight. Those men in Normandy, they fought with bullets. They fought with shrapnel. They fought with bayonets. They shed much blood. The Bible tells us that's not our battle. We fight a spiritual war. And Paul tells us about that in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I dare say everybody listening to my voice right now has fought that battle. Maybe even today. Everybody fights. And the only way a spiritual paratrooper can contend with the forces of evil is by the power and the strength of Jehovah Elohim, which is God Almighty. So John tells us in the first section of our text, we know that we are from God. And he makes that promise a little clearer. Look at the next text in verse 20. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He clears it right up. Is there anybody here? Anybody here listening? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in you? Are you saved? Do you feel it? Do you know it? And if you don't, see me after the service, and I'll show you how God is stirring your heart. But we can know that we are of God, and we can know that by our lives. We can know that by the way the world treats us. And we can know that because we are outnumbered and surrounded. So you see, because we're from God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us. So that it doesn't matter if we are surrounded on all sides. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're outnumbered. It doesn't matter if Satan himself attacks us. It doesn't matter at all. Because in the previous chapter, 1 John 4, the writer promises us, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John 4:4. And the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, echoes the same promise in 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have all the power we need, even though we're surrounded and even though we're outnumbered. We need nothing more than what he's already given us. Now I know that in addition to fighting a spiritual warfare with principalities and powers, in addition to fighting a spiritual warfare with the old man within us that's crucified, in addition to that, we also have to fight a war against the world. We're constantly bombarded by the world and the things of the world, the glitter of the world. And we have to fight that. But that also, because you have Christ in you, that also is something you need not ever think about losing. Because if Christ is in you, you already have the victory. I'd also like you to note that those who know that they are from God can put on the wings of faith that every spiritual paratrooper has. I don't know if you've ever seen a paratrooper, but they wear an insignia, a badge with two parachutes. And for the Christian in your spiritual warfare, that badge is a spiritual badge that you should wear. And only those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, only those in Him who is true, the Lord Jesus Christ, have the privilege of wearing that badge. And although there are many in Christendom today that claim the wings of faith, I think we all know the fact is their lack of love and devotion to God has blinded their eyes to their true estate. The only badge they wear is the badge of unbelief. The only badge they wear is the badge of a tear. You can't wear the badge, the spiritual badge of a paratrooper in God's army, if you don't have faith and trust in Christ. And having faith and trust in Christ is more than professing it. Having faith and trust in Christ is living it each and every day, each and every moment of your life. You see, the beloved, the Bible makes it very clear that God's people, His elect, is a very, 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 very small group. Now, I know that may surprise some of you. Recently in a Bible study, we talked about this. And one person was absolutely amazed. He said, "I thought God was all-encompassing, that He loved everybody." And I said, if He loved everybody, He wouldn't put them in hell. It's not true. God's people are a very, very select group of people. And the point of this message this morning is to show you just how select you are if you know Christ, how rare and precious you are, and how there are many more outside of Christ than there are in Christ. Let me give you some idea of just what I'm talking about here, about God's elect people. A few moments ago, I told you about Noah. Out of the entire world, there were only 8 people that were saved. Proof verse, 2 Peter 2:5. "He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with 7 others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." The great deluge wiped out all of humanity, minus 8 people. Millions. Millions of people. Now, do you think those people whose minds were continually evil and hostile towards God, you think when they died, God took them up to heaven? Do you think God claimed all those souls that loved evil and not good? You think he claimed them for his own? Beloved, the wages of sin and unbelief in the Old and New Testament are exactly the same. Eternal damnation, death. Proof verse, Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That means that millions of people perished on the earth, and right now they're reserved in the darkness of hell waiting for the judgment day. And out of that whole mass of humanity, there were only eight. Israel. Here's another case. God chose Israel to be his people. There were no other ones on earth that had his law, that had his commandments, than the Israelites. And not even all of them believed in Jehovah. And the millions of people that were left in the rest of the world, they didn't worship God, Jehovah. Instead, they worshiped idols and gods of their imagination. Ephesians 2:1, Paul told the Ephesian church that before Christ, that's exactly what they were doing. He told them that they were spiritually dead. He wrote, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." And I dare say each and every one of us, before we were called by God, we are living in the world and under the power of the evil one. And we too were dead in trespasses and sins. So when the countless millions of people who worshipped anything they could put their hands on died, where do you think their eternal resting place is? You think they went to heaven with their idols? Or do you think they're in hell holding tight their images resembling mortal man, birds, and animals, and reptiles? Do you think they're in heaven with those idols? I don't think so. And even when God gave his only begotten Son to claim a people from every nation, 2,000 years ago, he came for Israel. Israel rejected him. So he said, okay, we'll fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And we'll call out a people from every nation. What was their response? They killed him. They crucified him. He gave up his ghost, but they crucified him. They were hostile to him. They dishonored the blood sacrifice of God himself, even with the warning of Hebrews 10:29. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? See, God gets very upset when people just walk by Calvary. They walk by this book and everything it represents, and they say, yeah, okay, I got time, not now, other things. He gets very upset. Ungodly people. Look around our world today. Let me ask you, how many spiritual paratroopers do you see in this world today? How many have faith and trust in Christ alone? Our 21st century world is overflowing. It's packed with all manners of idol worship, false religions, Christian cults, and unbelief. So let me ask you this. In the last 2,000 years, how many of these billions of ungodly people who died in their sins because they rejected Christ, how many of them do you think went to heaven? Let me tell you what Paul said in Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. And Peter said, but by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. 2 Peter 3:7. Where do you think they are? Billions of people. Beloved, I tell you, Scripture makes it abundantly clear that throughout the recorded history of the vast majority of people, the vast majority of people that's lived on this planet have not been God's people. Matter of fact, our Lord Jesus himself tells us that in Matthew 7:13 and 14. He told the crowd, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And he also said in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. I tell you this morning not to discourage you, but to encourage you. I tell you this morning so that you'll understand just how special a people you are. God's elect people have been hand chosen in every generation by God Almighty and not by their works. Ephesians 2:8 says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And in every generation, he picks his people like fine gems, the most rarest of jewels. And he does it out of a sea of ungodly, unrighteous, continually evil people. Now I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. There are many people in hell who are not immoral. They were just unsaved. They were good people, perhaps, on a human standard. But God says that all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. And so the only way you can please God, the only way that your sin can be forgiven, all of your sins, is by blood. And until you trust in the cross of Christ, and you live your life by faith in that trust, until you do that, your sins are not forgiven. But for those of you that have, rejoice. You're a very rare, rare breed. There's so few. And yet the Bible tells us in Revelation that the saints are more than the sands on the beach, on the shore. There's so many. You have to remember in 400 generations or so, He's picked people. And you're one of them. You're sitting here today, a very special person. I tell my wife sometimes when we get into a discussion, I tell her, Meredith, I have to be very nice to you. And she says, I know. Why? And I tell her, it's because you're God's child. You may be my wife, I may be your pastor, but you're first of all God's kid. And I take that very seriously because every single one of God's children has been handpicked by God Himself. There's no luck, chance, or coincidence in salvation. Nobody goes out there and says, I'm going to go looking for God. The Bible says there's none who seek after God. And as a result of that, you who sit here today, you who listen to this, you who know Christ as Savior, the true God, the only God, you have no idea just how blessed you truly are. And I dare say you'll never find out even on this side of glory. But you can start your relationship and you can start possessing more of your possessions if you realize just what a peculiar people you are. A wonderful people. A godly people. And when you think
You think back to what God paid for you. You think back of what He's given so that Sean could sit in this assembly of saints, a saint himself, and he can sit here knowing that he has the blood of Christ. And in having that, he has it all. Everything. That's the root of salvation. The blood of Christ. Nothing else. And the problem is today in the church, the 21st century church, there are many, many saints who should be shining gems, bright lights in a dark world. And instead, they walk through this world in spiritual poverty. They have paratrooper wings on, badges on their clothes. But it's not in their heart. They're discouraged. They're dismayed. They're disappointed. And it's all because they don't realize who they are and what they have in Jesus Christ. I have to say that in all the years that I've been a Christian, there never seems to have a day go by when I don't realize just one little thing more than I did the day before about what I have in Christ. And that's how you grow in Christ. If you're going to possess the possessions that He's given you in His Word, if you're going to possess that, then you have to know that they're yours. You have to believe that they're yours. You have to take them out of the book and you have to apply them to your life like a compress. You need to apply them. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, brother or sister, your light is very dim. You may even be on pilot light. I pray that this message wakes you up and makes you realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That when the devil comes, the roaring lion comes knocking on my door, the Bible says, resist him and he will flee. That's power. That's power that only spiritual paratroopers have. And each and every one of you that has that, wears that badge of honor because of your faith and trust in Christ, you have that power. I'm going to tell you just a few things about how rare you are, and I'll close. Believers are loved by God. Isaiah 43:4, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I want to tell you one of the problems saints have with love. We're such a conditional people. We always love by condition. God put His unconditional love in us. We should love unconditionally. We should love each other unconditionally. And we should love God unconditionally. But the problem seems to be that not everybody understands love, or they've had a bad relationship with love. If that's you, let me tell you something. All the relationships in the world that you had that were bad, this is the best it's ever going to get for you right here with God. You can't do better than Him. And so trust in Him. If you know His Son, take the love that the Father has for you. Jeremiah says that God has loved us with an everlasting love. Even before the worlds were formed, you, His saints, were the object of His love. And He waited for each and every one of us at a certain point in time when He called us. He picked us out of the world. He separated us. He made us a royal priesthood, and He put us in His crown. He carves our initials in His hands. He collects our tears in a bottle. He collects our prayers in a bottle. How much does He love you? That much. John 15:15. Saints are called friends of God. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The only one in the Bible that was ever called a friend of God was Abraham. And if he's calling you, Brendan, a friend, he's calling you, Ray, a friend, you're on high ground. If you're a friend of God, you're on real high ground. I'd actually say you're on holy ground. And how many days of your life do you go out of that door every day and say to yourself, well, I got a friend, his name is God, and I'm going to depend on him today. You're a friend of God. And Ephesians 2:19 promises every adopted child of God, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. I love this part. And members of the household of God. All of you that have a household, you come home, it's your house. You open up the door, you make yourself comfortable. God's saying, you're a member of my household, Marie. You make yourself comfortable with the righteousness that I've imparted in you through Christ. Live your life knowing that I gave my son so that David, you would not have to pay for your sins. I loved you as much as I love him, because every time I look at you, I see him. Take that home. You're special. Very, very special. Somebody has done the math, and I cannot tell you how in the world they came up with this figure, but they have figured that there have been 40 billion people who have lived on this earth, including the present 7 billion that are living here now. I don't know where they got the numbers from, but I'll accept it. I'll accept it because I don't think anybody could know the right answer. Sounds reasonable. Out of 40 billion people, how many people in this country, or 7 billion people in our generation, how many people are not hostile to God? If I was to go to China, how many people there would be friendly to God? If I were to go to Mecca, how many people there would be friendly to Jesus Christ? If I were to go to Europe, basically spiritually dead countries, How many people there would not be hostile to God in a biblical sense? China, India, Russia, Europe, Britain, Canada, and I dare say the United States of America. How many in those countries are not hostile to God? I'll tell you what, I believe with all my heart and soul, the Bible tells me this, our text tells me this, that the world is under the power of God. The vast majority of humanity, the 7 billion people, are hostile to God in one way or another. And I look around this church and I see a sprinkling of gems. People who love God. People who are different than the world. And in looking at you, I see what he means when he says that you are a particular people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are. And the problem is, we go through our lives, we don't feel like priests. We don't. We don't feel like we're adopted by God. And the reason that that happens, beloved, is simply because our perspective of ourselves is skewed. And it's skewed because we don't spend enough time in the refreshment chamber of God's Word. You spend time in God's Word, and I need to tell you this, you will feel like you really are a special person when you read all the promises that he gives you. And then when you pray and you hear that and you get the answer to that prayer, everybody sitting here in our pastoral prayer has heard great testimonies of people who have been blessed. And that isn't luck, chance, or coincidence. Those are the world's gods with the little g. All the things that happen when we pray to God and God answers them now and even in the future shows you just who you are in Christ. You need to know that. I want you to take that home as the message this morning. I want you to understand that you are one of the rarest gems in the universe. I want you to remember that there's 7 billion people out in this world today. And I dare say, and it's just a random guess, and God forgive me if I'm wrong, I dare say that out of 7 billion people, there might be 500 million that are not hostile to God out of 7 billion. You are a very, very rare commodity in this world today. Take that home. Rejoice. And then the way you apply this message to your life is that when you go to work tomorrow, when you step out your door tomorrow, or even today, never forget the blood of Christ. Never forget how that blood of Christ turned you from a chunk of clay into the rarest diamond in the world. The rarest. And he did it because he loved you. For those of you that are not saved or are listening that are not saved, I hate to tell you, but you're still clay. You haven't been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. If you feel God stirring your heart and you're tired of walking through this world depending upon yourself, feeling the influences of the evil one, feeling the influences of the world, knowing that your life is going nowhere fast and speeding. If I'm speaking to you, you see me or call me after the service, and I'll show you in God's word how much he loves you. I'll show you how he wants to take your life and turn it into the most precious diamond. And when he's done, he's going to put upon your breast the emblem of a spiritual paratrooper. Let's pray. Father, I pray, first of all, that you would forgive us. Lord, you have given so much to us, Lord, and sometimes, almost all the time, Lord, we seem to neglect to understand who we are. We're so busy getting caught up in the world and in our lives, Lord, that we forget that we are the most costly thing in the universe because only the blood of Christ could transform us or metamorphosize us into saints. God, I pray that as we leave this place this day, that you would help all of your children listening, that you would help them, Father, to realize who they are. And Lord, help them to realize that they have the ear of a sovereign God and they have the blood of the Holy Lamb of God to give them all the power and all the strength they need to make it through this dark world. Help us, Lord. Help us to possess our possessions and to glorify you in the process. We ask it all in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.